It's time for Sports Lit 101. A good one this week.
Yeah, this is a real good one. This book is called The Hidden Language of Baseball by Paul Dixon. It was written 50 or 60 books on baseball. It came out in original version 2003, and then in 2017 was going to go out of print, and somebody said, no, you need a new version. Now, what's really interesting about this book is it's a small, slim book. It's only about 150 pages long, though there are about 50 pages of notes. I learned more in reading this book than I learned in the first 68 years of my life about baseball and science.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you think we all think we know more about sports than we actually do. But the history of
science. That's why there's sports radio.
That's what I was going to say. I almost mentioned a name. But what happened is baseball science originated in the Civil War combat. And one of the few things that soldiers did when they were away from the front lines for entertainment was play baseball, both Confederate and U.S. troops. And they had very similar signs, semaphore, hand signals alike. In fact, some historians believe that Joseph Hooker lost the battle at Chancellorsville because he refused to use signs, thinking that the Confederates had already stolen the signs from the Yankees and the Yankees having stole them from the rebels. So when the Civil War ended and baseball began to become a professional sport, the use of signs was rampant. And the manager usually gave the signs. They didn't have base coaches and stuff. But as time evolved, turns out Tony La Russa used the trainer to send signs. Some places used the mascot to send signs. Wow. But the history of stealing signs goes back to 1874, the Hartford Dark Blues of the National Professional Baseball Association, later the National League, learned how to steal the opposing team's signs. And it was a big brouhaha. But there were no rules against it. So people thought, well, it's okay. As early as 1900, the Philadelphia Athletics were cheating electronically. They had a buzzer in the third base coach's box, and a coach could step on it, one for a fastball, two for a changeup, three for a curve.
Wow.
If they had stolen signs, or could use it to suggest pitches based on where the when they were hitting, based on where the catcher was setting up. So you think, okay, we have Spygate. It's nothing. The number of baseball teams that spied electronically, beginning in the early part of the 20th century, is phenomenal. In fact, there still exists today some discussion as to whether Bobby Thompson was tipped off on Ralph Branca's pitch. And
well, no discussion from Ralph when he was on with us.
Right.
And Thompson apparently admitted to it.
Well, but what happened is, what Branca said, and this makes sense, is the first pitch he threw was right down the middle, a fat one. He didn't want it there. And Thompson did not swing at that. So he didn't think they had those signs. But the Giants, Leo DeRocher and those boys, came from 13 and a half back. Right? They went 31-6 or something over that stretch. They hadn't been that good before. And so everybody thought it was because they were stealing signs. Well, yes, they were using telescopes to steal signs and the like. But the opposition knew this. So sometimes they were changing a series of signs every at-bat.
Wow.
And so much so that certain people like Charlie Dressen had different signs for different players. Because if you stole the sign on the first player, you might screw up on the second one. The number of games that Dixon said were probably won over the last century or so by stolen signs is huge. I'll give you a couple of examples. Now, Rick Sutcliffe, as we know, knows a little bit about pitching.
Oh, yes.
Right? So in the 2001 World Series, Andy Pettit was supposed to close out the Diamondbacks. And Pettit was tipping his pitches. So much so that Sutcliffe called forthcoming pitches. He isn't watching the catcher's signs. When Pettit was going to throw a fastball from the stretch, he brought his hands together. When he's going to throw a curveball, he brought him in an arc. And Joe Torre later admitted, yeah, they can't believe that his own people didn't pick it up. In 2002, Curt Schilling tipped his pitches to the degree that Sutcliffe, in the broadcast booth, predicted 16 16 straight pitches
wow.
on the September 29th telecast. And Schilling's ERA during that during September was 5.87. Somebody tipped him off, and he went pitched 2-1 in the loss in the playoffs. So the whole glossary in here of how signs are stolen, who's giving them, who isn't giving them.
When you got people giving decoy signals.
Oh, yeah, the deke signals. In fact, there's some interesting. I thought this would be sort of cool for people. Some of the lingo, which I did not know. Do you know what a wigwag is?
I do not know what a wigwag is.
Wigwag is a base coach because yeah. they wiggle and wag. You know what a grass puller is?
No.
Grass puller is a coach who signals pitches by pulling at grass. It was
wow.
something that happened way back when. A bobblehead, other than what we might... Bobblehead is a pitcher given a shaking off or pretending to shake off pitches called by his catcher
okay.
in order to... So, you know, you get that. There were a couple other great ones. First letter system. A system in which the first letter in the name of an object touched matches the first letter of the sign. For instance, belt, bunt, shirt,
okay.
steel.
Well, those were actually...
Head hit, right?
When I coached varsity baseball, that was my bunt and my steel sign were belt buckle... And sure, yeah, not too complicated.
Now, do you know what a flap is?
No.
If a catcher has gone through all of his signs the way he would normally go through yep. his signs and then just flaps his hand over onto his knee.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, yep. calls it off, right? Yep. If he touches one knee as opposed to the other, it tells you which one of the signals in order is the one they're going to take. But what's fascinating is while that's going on between them, the opposition is relaying
oh, yeah.
signals back and forth.
Well, and not only that, but you also have infielders, usually the shortstop, letting the outfielders know what pitch is coming, giving
yes.
them often a little signal behind their back so they can adjust accordingly.
Peter Gammons wrote, in the 20-odd seconds between pitches, back when that was the case, hands, feet, fingers, arms, eyes, caps, bats, gloves, clipboards, and towels may all be moving in a silent clamor of sounds, of signs. And one of the things that really struck me is great advice. I never thought about this. Red Barber once suggested, if you really want to increase your insight into baseball, as well as your pleasure, watch only one position for several innings at a stretch and see how the players on each club handle themselves. Because he said, it's mentioned here that sometimes there's an infielder that's actually giving all the signs. Could be a
right.
first baseman. He could be getting his signs... If he's the first baseman and he's the visiting team, they're in the third base dugout, right? He's getting his that way. But Charlie Dressen was so adept at stealing signs that when he coached in the All-Star game and they said, well, what are the signs going to be? He said, use the ones on your team because I know them all. And he had stolen every single team in the American
wow.
League's signs. And it worked throughout the game. This is an amazing book. I mean, I thought you're going to love this. I thought I knew something about this. And I loved baseball when I was a kid, and I played baseball, and I used to watch a lot of it. I went to a lot of games. I had no idea. Joe Garagiola said, shake the catcher around was one of his favorites. Pitcher does that to confuse the hitters as to what the pitcher is going to throw. But Buster Olney, who covered the Yankees for the New York Times, reported that Mariano Rivera had been known to accept the pitch, then shake his head 8 or 9 times just to confuse the batter. And he only threw one pitch, essentially.
Right,
a cutter.
Yeah. Here comes the cutter, yeah.
But it's a fabulous, fabulous book. From the history, I mean, really, when you talk about the Hartford Dark Blues and the beginning of the sign stealing, and it's, you know, we hate the idea, at least I do, I shouldn't say we, but of comparing football to war, because football is just football. War, you're trying to kill somebody, not beat them. But to think that the signals in baseball come out of the Civil War is really an interesting concept, and that really since time, except for the cheating stuff with electronic things and stuff like that, it all boils down to visual signs and communication by the hands. Apparently, when the Yankees were stealing signals at one point in time, you could see the cuticles on the catcher's hand from the telescope. People would rent baseball teams would rent apartments that could see into the ballpark
with
high-powered telescopes. Have fans with binoculars that were actually employees. Some teams put players out there that weren't recognized. They'd just dress them up and they'd be out there and they would use the scoreboard to cheat. you know, the old-fashioned open and close. If it was open all the way, it was a fastball. Halfway was a curve. All the way was, I mean, all the way down was a changeup. Or really, the number of things in this book that just made me laugh out loud are fabulous.
One of my proudest moments in my mediocre coaching career was I was coaching at Brewer. We're playing Bangor. And I was coaching third, runner on third base. I yell into the batter, squeeze. I walk back up the line. The Bangor third baseman looks at me. I said, you better move in. I said, no, I'm serious. It's a squeeze. You didn't give a sign. I said, that is my sign. Want me to do it again? Squeeze. He takes about one step in. Here comes the pitch. Kid lays down a beautiful bunt. The runner scores. I walk back. I said, I told you. I can't believe you did that. You couldn't stop it. You knew what it was. You couldn't stop it.
There, Joe Torre once was catching, and Orlando Cepeda was batting, and he told him the three pitches in a row, and he swung and missed at all three of them. It's a great little exchange in there about that.
There's a great story, and I hope it's true because it's such a good story. Back when Tommy Van Edestein was playing for Maine, he was in a little bit of a slump, and he'd become friends with, I think his name was Shields. I want to say Doug Shields, who was a center fielder from Miami, and they were playing them in a preseason series. And they had talked to Shields apparently before the game said, I'm going to let you know what's coming. I take my hat off, it's a fastball. Put the hat back on. When I put it on, if I put it on, I do this or the side's a curve, whatever it is. Tommy's not sure. And he gets up there, and the first he sees the hat come off, sign for a fastball. He said, fastball right down the middle. Yeah, okay. He did it once. You know, probably not going to do it again. He looks out. He gets the sign for a curveball. He's taken all the way. Curveball. It's in there for a called strike. Well, now it's 0-2. He looks out, sign for a fastball again. Sits on it and just rips this ball. Just a rocket right down the first baseline that the first baseman makes a diving catch and grabs, even though he knew the pitch was coming.
Wow.
On his way back to the dugout, said something about his dislike and what a stupid game baseball was, with a few other colorful words added in. And John Wakem said, yes, it does suck. Yes, it does. Oh, it does, Tommy. Knew what was coming and still couldn't get. That's when you know when you're in a slump.
Yeah, you'll really enjoy it. This is right up your alley because all the history in it and stuff. It's great.
The Hidden Language of Baseball, Paul Dixon. Guy wrote the Baseball Dictionary and so many more.
Oh, yeah. 50 books, I think.
Wow. 50 books?
Something like that. Ooh. 50 or 60 books.